Why don't you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, of course, we spent some time looking into the word concerning some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And saw that he's involved in our daily lives, not just in our church Sunday morning or Sunday night life, but in our daily lives. And tonight we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and see one of the areas we talked about last week is how he gives us gifts. So we're going to look in concerning the gifts. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins this section of his letter by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Father, again, we thank you for this time we have in your word, and we do pray, Lord, that you'd give us insight into it. Help us to understand. Help me to communicate what you want us to hear tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen." Well, Paul sets the scene for this chapter by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts. So he sets the tone. That's what he's talking about, spiritual gifts. That's the thrust of this chapter, the idea of spiritual gifts. Now, notice what he calls them now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. That word gifts is in italics, means it's been inserted. It's not in the original Greek language, but it's there, and it's proper for it to be there, because if you look down a little bit further, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's his thrust, the spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, ignorance is one of the main causes of troubles in the church, being ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. June and I, as I mentioned last week, June and I were raised in a church that didn't teach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, didn't teach about the ministry of the Spirit at all. And we were ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit, concerning the workings of the Holy Spirit. We had no knowledge of it. Although it was all in the Bible, we just never had studied the Word of God concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But as we started going to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, started learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we realized that he is in our daily lives, not just in our church life, but in our daily lives. So before we go any further, I wanted to emphasize. Now, when we get into chapter 14, we won't get there that tonight, but when we get to chapter 14, Paul gives some instructions concerning the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these supernatural giftings in the church. So that doesn't apply to us in our daily life. But in the church, when we gather together, there needs to be some kind of order. Look in that chapter 11, at verse 17. So in context, Paul is talking about when we come together. So in chapter 11, verse 17, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So he's talking about when they come together, the idea of being in context. In verse 18, when you come together as a church, so when you come together, we're here together as a church. You're here together this morning as a church. And so it's when you come together. And then down in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place. So here we are. So again, he's talking about when we come together. And then in the same chapter, verse 33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together, again, it's when you come together. So the idea, he's giving us these instructions of when we come together as a church. So in other words, like when we get the gift of tongues, Paul requires that there is an interpretation when somebody speaks out in tongues. If you begin speaking in tongues while you're driving down the freeway, you don't need interpretation of it. It's when you come together as a church, because you'll be edified anyway. And the reason we need the interpretation is so somebody will be, the rest of it will be edified. So the idea is when we come together, that's what Paul wants us to understand, when we come together. So being ignorant concerning the gifts, again, ignorance is one of the major hindrances to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just being ignorant, not being ignorant doesn't mean dumb or stupid. It just means untaught or unlearned. Jen and I weren't dumb or stupid. Well, maybe we were. Maybe I was. She wasn't. But we were just untaught. So that's why Pastor Wald invited me to come here, so that you wouldn't be untaught and wouldn't remain untaught. I know he teaches about it, but he wanted me to teach tonight. Ignorance can lead to abuses and misuses and disuse. Ignorance can lead to abuses. You see that going on in some realms of the church today, abuses. It can be misuse or just used improperly, not necessarily abusing, but just out of ignorance, using it improperly. and then disuse, being ignorant of the Holy Spirit and His work, not using the gifts that God has given, not recognizing the gifts that God has given you, not recognizing it was good. I understand you had a supernatural working this morning as Pastor Rawl got up to teach, and God had spoken to him a word that there was someone who had a word of prophecy, a word from God, and that was a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. Now, that prevents us from being ignorant when we use the Word of God. So, again, the hindrance, the abuses and misuses. And now notice in verse 2, he said that you were Gentiles, carried away these dumb idols, however you were led. So he's writing to the church that was filled with Gentiles, not Jewish people, men and women, but Gentiles. And they hadn't been taught. They, in fact, they had been, before they became believers in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they were worshipers of idols. They worshipped dumb idols. Idols that had mouths, couldn't speak, eyes that couldn't see, and ears that couldn't hear. Now they worship the living God who does have a mouth, can speak, and does speak. He does see, he does hear. And so Paul wanted them to realize that when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's God working. God sees what's going on here. God knew that. How did somebody respond to those words that were given this morning? Or was it just kind of general for the whole church? Okay, so afterwards a couple of people came up and said that was specific for them, but in a general sense for the church, but specifically for someone. Now, that was God speaking to someone else. So God does have a mouth. He does speak. He does. He saw the need in the heart of those people who responded personally to it. He saw the need that they had to hear that word that was given, scripture that was read. God knew that. You can look at the person and think, well, everything's fine in their life. But you know what's going on. You know what's happening in life. But God does, and so he gave a word this morning that would bring comfort. It was a prophetic word through the scripture, bringing comfort to someone's heart. So God does speak, he does hear, he does see. That's important for us to understand that God sees when we start talking about the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. And then Paul says in verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So two things in that verse. One is that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. When he gives a word or when he does something, it always brings glory to Jesus Christ. His whole ministry is to glorify the Son. That's his ministry through you and me, is to glorify Jesus Christ. Our teaching ought to glorify God. Our worship ought to glorify God. Our daily lives ought to glorify God. As we're living in under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they will glorify God. But he will glorify God. Someone said, if it gratifies the flesh, it's not of God. In other words, if it brings pride to you or something like that, then it's not of God. I think that's probably a good way to say it. If it glorifies God, glorifies Jesus, then it could be of the Holy Spirit, because he'll always glorify the Son. In other words, he's not going to cause you to say something. He's not going to cause you to do something that will not glorify Jesus Christ. There's a doctrine that's going around the church today. It's really rampant down in San Diego, and where people are going to wind up barking like dogs, running around on all fours, on their hands and knees, acting like dogs, and screaming and yelling and banging their heads against the wall and doing all kinds of strange things, blaming it on the Holy Spirit. If that glorifies Jesus Christ, I'm ignorant. I don't understand how that can glorify Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being excited in your worship or getting excited and amped up and all that in your worship. I get excited sometimes, but my wife's looking at me and says, "When?" I said sometimes. By the way, my wife is sitting here. Remember last week I told you I called my wife an it? She's not an it. She's a real person. She came with me tonight. But the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, not man. It won't glorify anybody other than Jesus Christ. It'll always point us to Jesus Christ. In the second part of that verse, he said, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he reminds us that the Holy Spirit is necessary in our lives. We're desperate for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The very beginning of our new life in Jesus Christ began with the conviction of the Holy Spirit when he convicted us of sin. Remember last week we talked about that? That's one of the things he does, is he convicts of sin. So our new life began with the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. And he continues in our life. So no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, a person can say, oh, Jesus is Lord. They can even sing the songs we sing that say Jesus is Lord, that declare him to be Lord. But only by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you can you really call him Lord. That's what God is saying. So Paul is saying is he's hearing what God said for him to write. And then in verses 4, 5, and 6, he gives us some insight into the gifts here in chapter 12. He said in verse 4, 5, and 6, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. So he gives us some understanding about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now notice that the Lord and God the Father are all involved in his ministry. You have the Holy Spirit in verse 4. You have the Son in verse 5. And you have the Father in verse 6. So you got the Trinity there involved. So it's God complete, totally working in our lives. Now he said there are diversities of gifts. A variety of gifts. Don't get hung up on one gift. You can have more than one gift. But what we're going to find out is that there are a variety of gifts, and they work differently in one another's lives. I found 25 different gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament alone. I brought a book for you. If you got my old book, it's got a new cover on it. But I brought one for each family for free. And in the back of this book, there's a reference for you. It has 25 different gifts of the Spirit listed with a reference, with a short description of the gift and with the references that you can find those gifts in operation in the Bible, in the Word of God. So it's for free. Please take one per family and then read it and share it and talk about it if you want. There's some other things in there that might be interesting to you also. But there's a bunch of gifts. Let's put it that way. We're not limited to one gift. And then in verse 5, he said there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So, variety of gifts, but different ministries. The way I understand that to mean is there are lots of different ministries in the church. Now, he's talking about when you come together. How many ministries are there in your church? What ministries are you involved in? Anybody involved in the children's ministry? Anybody involved in the worship ministry besides the brother? Anybody else? Okay, involved in worship ministry? Okay. Anybody involved in the teaching ministry? You better raise your hand. You better raise your hand. Involved in the teaching ministry? How about the cleanup ministry? Anybody involved in it? All right. How about the health ministry? Okay. You see a variety of different ministries. In other words, when you come together, there's lots of different ministries. What Paul is wanting us to understand is that we come together, it isn't just the ministry of these gifts shouldn't just happen when we're sitting here in the auditorium and in a chapel, sitting in our seats. It could be happening when we're standing there having a cup of coffee, when you're teaching a child in the children's ministry. God may give you a word. That doesn't may not come out the same way, thus saith the Lord. Listen to me, my little child. When you're talking with little children, it might come out a little bit different, but it could be a word of comfort to one of those kids. So a variety of ways that they work, but they don't all have the same effect or same activity or same way. They don't all work the same way in verse 6. That's what Paul is saying. So a bunch of different gifts, variety of places to minister them in the church, and then a bunch of different ways that they work. I'm going to ask Pastor Ron, how did God speak to you to give you that word this morning? Okay, so it was very clear to you that God was impressing upon your mind and your heart there was somebody here that had a scripture to read, and they should read it. Now, how did you know it was to do, when to do it? Okay. Okay. An overwhelming thought. Anybody else ever received a prophetic word like that, or a word of wisdom? My wife, I'm going to ask, okay, brother, how does God speak to you? How just pulls on your heart, and you know it's God speaking. All right. Makes you uncomfortable, so you can't kind of relax, huh? Yeah. Well, some of you, I know only three other people beside me raise their hands to say that they teach, have the gift of teaching, ministry of teaching. Raise your hand again if you have the ministry of teaching. Anybody work in the children's ministry and teach? More hands go up. See, for some reason in our minds, we don't think of that as having the big gift or ministry of teaching. But yet, those children are being taught. They're just being taught a little bit differently than you would on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. With the kids, I know when I was in children's ministry, one morning we were talking about Joseph and his coat of many colors. So I got an old bed sheet and spread it on the floor and gave them all a crayon. I had them start marking lines. They drew all these lines on this crazy thing. And then after I finished telling the story, I said, "Who wants to be Joseph?" The little kid pops, "I want to be Joseph." I took the robe and put it around the little kid, and he got to be Joseph for the morning. Now, Pastor, why don't you do that some Sunday morning? Or give everybody a piece of paper and have them draw on it and draw a boat and teach about Jonah and the whale, or Noah and the ark, or Jesus out on the fishing boat with the men. That'd be fun for one Sunday morning. But you wouldn't want to do it every Sunday morning with adults. That'd be too childish. But on the same thing, you wouldn't get up behind a microphone and a podium like this for little kids. You'd lose them in 30 seconds. They'd be gone. Their minds would be way somewhere else. So what Paul is saying is that a variety of gifts, what they have, different ways that they're operated. Now, Pastor Wall was saying that he just felt impressed. That's basically what happens with me when God gives me a word for something. I feel impressed to give it. But also he's given me a vision before, where I've seen a picture. So different ways that God speaks to us. And that's something we just learn by experience. We learn by trusting God, that it's God giving us that and speaking out. And saying, and you know, I know about you, but I always get like, no matter how long it's been going, I've been doing this for some 40 years now. And when God gives me a word for somebody, it's not like, oh, God gave me a word. It's like, God, you gave me a word for somebody. I mean, it's awe-inspiring in my heart that God would use me to minister to somebody else, to their personal need. And so a variety of ways that God works. And then in verse 7, he says, now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the idea that of all is, again, inserted, but the idea is still the same thing. So what are these gifts given to us for? For everyone. In other words, it's not just for me, it's for all of us, for the profit, for the gain of the body of Christ. But notice he calls them manifestations. Manifestation is a good way to put that would be an expression. So these are expressions of the Holy Spirit we're going to be talking about tonight. Three different kinds of gifts. Gifts that are ministries. You have a ministry gift. Your pastor has the gift of teaching. Those are the ministry gifts. You'll find them in Romans chapter 12 and a couple other places. But Romans chapter 12, ministry gifts. We'll be talking about those one of these nights. So the ministry gifts. You have the gift of worship, leading worship. That's a ministry gift. I worship, but I don't have that gift of leading worship. You wouldn't want to hear me lead worship. I've had to do it a couple of times, but it doesn't work very well for me. People would rather not hear me sing. God's the only one who likes to hear me sing. He loves it when I sing. But ministry gifts. And then here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these are manifestations. These are revelations where God is expressing himself through someone, to an individual. So they're expressions of God. We'll explain a little bit further to go along. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, you have gifts that are mentoring gifts. Your pastor has the gift of teaching, the minister of teaching, but he also has a mentoring gift. He mentors you. He doesn't just teach you, but he mentors you. He comes alongside of you and mentors you, disciples you in the ministry. So the three different kinds. You have the ministry gifts, manifestation gifts, and mentoring gifts. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, these are manifestation gifts or expressions of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to look at a cluster of nine of them in verse 8 down through verse 10. Before we get there, I want to read verse 11. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So it's the Holy Spirit who works these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So these manifestations can be given to anyone. Anyone can get a, God can give you a manifestation. It can give you an expression. You can express what the Holy Spirit is wanting to express. It just happened to be that Pastor Wall was used this morning. You might be used next week or tonight to express what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to us. It may be reading a scripture. The Holy Spirit is expressing what he wants to say. It may also be a prophetic word where God just gives you a prophecy for someone. Notice he said that he distributes these individually as he wills. So he gives them to you as he wills. I've been used by God to give words of knowledge for people, words of wisdom, prophetic words. But I don't always get one. I don't always have one. It's not like I have the word of knowledge, or I have the gift of prophecy, or I have the word of wisdom. It's only as God would plop that gift into me. I like the gift of faith. I don't always have the gift of faith active in my life, but only as God would plop it into me. Same thing, only as God would give you a word of wisdom do you have that gift of wisdom. Same thing, it's not like I possess that word of knowledge now, it's mine. I used to think that way until one night somebody else gave a word of knowledge. And I thought, wait a minute, that's my gift. And God found a way to explain to me, no, it's not your gift. It's my gift I'm letting you use tonight. I'm using you tonight in my gift. They're given. They're not earned. So the manifestation of gifts, a variety of gifts, different ways that God works, and their manifestation or expressions of the Holy Spirit. So in verse 8, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. So, nine different gifts are listed here. They break down into three different categories, for me anyway. I'll just share the way I see them. Three different categories. One is gifts that are revelation, where God reveals something to you couldn't know without God revealing it to you. Where God gives you a revelation, where you see something you didn't know it was there. You didn't even know unless God revealed it to you. So gifts of revelation. And then gifts of power, where God displays his power, and gifts that are spoken gifts or oral gifts. So the first three we're going to look at tonight are the gifts that are revelation gifts, where God reveals something to you. First one is word of wisdom. Second one is word of knowledge. The third one is gifts of discerning of spirits, where God reveals something to you that's not obvious, that you can't see by looking at a person. You can't even imagine it would be there probably. But God gives you that word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. So word of wisdom is where God gives you wisdom beyond your experience, where God just gives you wisdom about a situation. In James, we read that, turn with me to James. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians, but turn with me to James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13 down through 18. James writes about this wisdom. He said in James 3, verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." So wisdom is meek. It's under control. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, demonic, sensual." So there's a demonic or an earthly kind of wisdom. "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there." So demonic wisdom always brings chaos. God's wisdom always brings peace. Demonic wisdom brings chaos. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that everything ought to be done decently and in order. God brings order out of chaos. He takes chaos and brings it into order. And he goes on to say in verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So he's saying that there is wisdom that's from above and is first pure. In other words, there's no hidden motive. It's peaceable. It brings peace. It's gentle. It doesn't cram it down somebody's throat. You don't have to accept it. It's willing to yield, back off. It's full of mercy and good fruit. So that's wisdom that's from above. Now, when God gives you a word of wisdom, it's going to be one. It's going to bring one of those things. It's going to be peace to a disturbing situation. It's going to be gentle. It's not going to demand. Not going to command. It's going to be meek. So, a word of wisdom. Let's see that. A good way to think before we get look at another example. Word of wisdom is God's answer to your problem. A word of wisdom is where God gives you an answer to a problem. It may not always be your problem. Maybe it's somebody else's problem. Maybe it's somebody else's dilemma. In Acts chapter 6, we find the church is growing, is exploding, and some of the widows are being neglected, not on purpose, but by just because there wasn't enough men to help, enough people to help. And they began to complain that their needs weren't being met, the food wasn't being distributed equally and all. And what happened? Someone had an idea. In chapter 6, verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good report or good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So what was happening is that the church was growing so much that the apostles didn't have time to meet the needs of these widows. And so they had to do something about it. So apparently they were seeking God, and God spoke to one of their hearts and said, why don't you guys just find seven men who can take care of this business? That met their dilemma. Now, that came from God. Several years ago, I mentioned to you last week where we bought a home and sold a home. Well, several years ago, we were renting. We'd been renting for 8 years. We sold our home and out of necessity and out of financial necessity. And then God started our church down Calvary Chapel at Poway down in San Diego area. Been renting a home for 8 years. And all of a sudden, my wife came to me and said, "Honey, I think God wants us to buy a house." I thought I was supposed to have all the wisdom. Someone said, "You don't have to have all the ideas, you just have to know when a good one comes along." So this is a good one. So I asked, "Well, how are we going to do that? We don't have any money. How are we going to get a loan? We're still new in the job now. The church had only been going a few years." So she said, "Well, God, show me how we're going to do it." And God had put on her heart how to do it. And one of the ways was to get my VA loan reinstated. And we were able to get the VA loan reinstated so that I could get a VA loan. We had a few thousand bucks in an IRA. It wasn't an IRA in those days. It was just mutual funds. But she said, "Well, we can take the money out of there and use it for a down payment." "Well, that's a good idea. Let's find out what this would be." So we started looking. In all of San Diego, now San Diego's a big area. All of San Diego, there's only one tract of homes that was selling VA, where you could use their VA loan. We found the home that we liked, put in an application and everything, and we needed $5,000 more to make our deposit down payment. Now, God had given us, my wife, that word of wisdom, and here's what to do. Here's how to handle it. We knew that God was going to give us that home because we just felt like that was God. But we still needed $5,000. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the $5,000. Well, my dad died in the meantime while we were going through this process. My dad was a poor man, and there was 8 kids in the family. So my inheritance from my financial inheritance from my dad was $5,000. On the day that we needed to have that $5,000, the check came in the mail on that very day. I didn't know how much it was going to be. I just knew I had this inheritance coming, and it came on the very day. So looking back, what I can say, that was a word of wisdom from God. It answered all those things. It brought peace. There wasn't any chaos going. It was just, you see how that works? It wasn't on a Sunday morning. It wasn't a Sunday night. God just gave a word of wisdom. Now, a word of knowledge is where God reveals something to you you wouldn't know without God revealing it. Something is hidden. Remember, God knows everything. He's all-knowing. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. And where God gives you a word of knowledge, knowledge is just simply information. Where all of a sudden you know something that you didn't know before. Where God revealed it to you. Where God revealed something that's going on in somebody's life. Some hurt that they have. Some problem they're facing. Some situation they're going through. Where God reveals that to you. That's the word of knowledge. Turn with me to John chapter 4, and we'll see both these gifts in operation in Jesus' life. I like seeing these gifts in the Word of God. John chapter 4. This is where Jesus stays at the well, and sends the disciples in to get some food. And while he's waiting for them to come back, a woman comes out to draw. She's a woman from Samaria. She's a Samaritan woman. And Jesus strikes up a conversation with her about water and all, and talks with her about living water and so on. And she said, "Well, give me this water so that I won't thirst again." She misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. She thought he was talking about physical water, water that you drink. But he said, in verse 15, she said, then the woman said, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Here's Jesus' answer to her: "Go and call your husband and come here." That seems kind of like, where did that come from? That's what it is like. When God gives you a word of knowledge, it's like, where did that come from? Well, it came from the Holy Spirit giving the word, Son of God, word of knowledge about this woman. Now, as we look at it, we find out that she said in verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. And this you truly spoke. So God, the Son, knew that she had been married five times. She's working on number six. How did you know that? Not by looking at her. Not the way she's dressed. Not in what she said. But just God's Holy Spirit revealing it to her, to him. Often people want to go by looking at somebody's facial expressions. Oh, they must have a deep trial they're going through. Or look at them. Everything's fine in their life. When I was passing down in Poway, San Diego area, one Sunday morning, second service, people were leaving the church. I mean, the church is over with, service over, and they're on the way out. And this one of the gals came by to shake hands with me. And I asked her how things are going. She's, oh, fine. Felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to ask her how things are going at work. So I asked her, how are things going at work? As soon as I asked her that, tears began to stream down her face. That was a word of wisdom from God saying, ask her, because God knew exactly what was going on in her heart. My daughter, may have told you this story before, I'll tell you again because it's such a good demonstration or example of the word of knowledge where God reveals something and then a word of wisdom working together. One day I was driving by the school and my daughter attended school, and I had this thought come to me. Your daughter's cutting class. She's ditching school. Now, my kid, she's a Christian girl. She'd never do that. Second day, the same thing. Third day, the same thing. Finally, I get the message. My daughter is ditching school. So I went home and told June. I said, honey, our daughter's cutting class. She's ditching school. So that was a word of knowledge. Where God gave me that knowledge. Wouldn't have known it, except God revealed it to me. So then we asked for wisdom. We said, God, what should we do? And then God gave us wisdom. He gave us that word of wisdom. Now here's the word of wisdom. Don't do anything. I'll take care of it. So God took care of it. 2 days later, I'm sitting on the couch with June and my wife were sitting in the living room. Our daughter opens the door about the time when school was out, walks in and sees Mom and Dad sitting on the couch in the front room, burst into tears and began to cry and repent. Mommy and Dad had been cutting class. I wanted to say, yeah, and God told me so a long time ago. But no, what was happening, God was giving me those 3 or 4 days for me to respond and for him to convict her. Had I confronted her with it, she would have denied it. She would have, no, I'm not Dad. I'm not really, I'm not. I know because I would have done it. But God didn't give her any chance. He convicted her, and then during that same time was convicting her. He's preparing my heart to know how to minister to her because I would have overreacted. She just turned 54 yesterday. She'd still be on restriction because I would have overreacted. So see, God wanted to handle it his way. So his way is better. Brought peace. It unified the family again. It broke down the wall of deceit and everything that my daughter was walking in. So you see the word of wisdom, word of knowledge working together. And then discerning of spirits. Gift of discerning of spirits. The third revelation gift or gift where God reveals something to you that you couldn't know unless God revealed it to you. It's not obvious. Acts chapter 16 is a good place to look. Before we read the scripture, I want to show you what discernment is not. Some say that they have the gift of discernment. Discernment is something that it's not a gift from God. Discerning of spirits is a gift from God. Discernment, here's what discernment is. Discernment is the ability to see and understand people, things, or situations clearly and intelligently. Another way to put it might be you're able to read people. This is natural for some people. I don't have that ability. You can fool me pretty easily. My wife has that ability. It's a natural thing. The gift of discerning of spirits is a supernatural gifting given by the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit reveals to us to discern the spirits. Three kinds of spirits: God's Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and created spirit beings, demonic spirits. Three kinds of spirits: God's Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and then created beings or demonic spirits. So we need to know what's behind activity. Sometimes when something's going on, we need to know the activity behind it. I'll give you an example, and then we'll read the scripture. At Costa Mesa Calvary Chapel, we were involved in what was called a believers' meeting. There'd be about 400 or 500 people in attendance. And I was helping the man who was teaching, and I would teach him and fill in for him sometimes. I was just being raised up in the ministry. One night, there was a woman came, and she sat down, and then she sat in the very front of the building, and she had real long hair, and she's going like this, streaming out her hair like this, and finally one of the ushers got her, because it's real distracting, and usher went up and asked her to sit toward the back, so she went and sat in the back, and then all of a sudden she wasn't in the building anymore. Neither were the ushers, the guys that were helping serve. They weren't in the building anymore, and I'm wondering, where are they? I wasn't teaching that night, so I could be a little bit free with my time and movement. Where are the ushers? I went outside, and here's three ushers. One of them sitting on a flower bed, a brick flower planter, with this gal laying on the brick planter with her head in his lap, and he's stroking her hair. And the other two guys standing there trying to minister to this gal. They weren't practicing discernment or discerning of spirits. That gal was there for something other than Jesus Christ. Same study one night. One of the ushers came in and said, "Pastor Jim, there's a man over there that says he's the Holy Spirit." "What? He's the Holy Spirit? What do you mean he said he's the Holy Spirit? You mean he said he has the Holy Spirit in him?" "No, he said he is the Holy Spirit." So I said, "Where is he?" They pointed him out to me, and I walked over and put my arm around the guy, and I said, "So I understand you have the Holy Spirit inside you." He looked at me and said, "No, I am the Holy Spirit." I asked him, "How did you come to be the Holy Spirit?" He said, "Well, a demon in my right leg told me I am." Well, it didn't take discerning of spirits to know that guy has some mental problems. Discerning of spirits when everything looks okay, but you know there's something wrong. That's what we find here in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." So here's a gal who happened to be a fortune teller. She's possessed with the spirit of divination. And in verse 17, "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" You find anything wrong with what she said? What she's saying is right on. What she's saying is this really was happening. She was proclaiming a truth. These men were servants of the Most High God, and they were proclaiming to them the way of salvation. But it goes on to say, "And this she did for many days, But Paul, greatly annoyed or stressed out in the spirit, that's my interpretation of it, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out that very hour. So here's the scene. Paul and his team are on the way to prayer. This gal's falling and she's crying out. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed us the way of salvation. What she's saying sounds right. Maybe she's even acting right. Maybe she wasn't acting strange. Doesn't say. Except that the idea of crying out, saying, means that she was screaming out, yelling at the top of her voice, and blood-curdling screams. And just because somebody screams like that doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. You have somebody who has mental problems, they can be acting that way. So how do we know this is a demon? How did Paul know these demons? And remember, Luke is writing this after the fact. He's writing this after the fact. Just because she is a fortune teller doesn't mean she's demon-possessed. So why did Paul wait several days before he did anything about it? Here's my understanding of it. This is the way I see it. And practical experience says agrees with what I'm saying. I believe Paul was waiting on God, the Holy Spirit, to show him when and what to do and how to handle it, rather than just automatically saying, you're possessed in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of there. We need to follow what the Holy Spirit says to do. June and I were involved in a church that didn't teach about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but they had some guy that was involved in casting demons out of people. And one night, this young gal came to the church, she and her husband, and she was epileptic. And they just wanted to cast demons out of this gal who's epileptic. She's a believer in Jesus Christ. She confessed Jesus Christ as Savior. There ain't going to be no demons in somebody who's born again. Just ain't. I'll say it that way so you get the idea. It ain't going to happen. You can be oppressed, but you can't be possessed. You're possessed by Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. He paid the price. You've been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit under the day of redemption. You belong to Him. At Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, a family brought their young daughter to us to pray over her because they thought she was demon-possessed. We asked her, why do you think she's demon-possessed? Well, every time we go to church, she starts squeaking and squawking, like, making strange noises. We asked her, what's going on? She's deaf and can't speak. Can't hear and can't speak. Some of you already know the story. You already know what's going to happen. As we prayed and began to ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on here? He just said, she's just deaf. Because what happened is, when mom and dad were sitting in church, and she's sitting between mom and dad, she's about a 10, 11-year-old girl, sitting between mom and dad, and in that church they had a choir. The church they were attending had a choir. And so when the choir would come out, the little girl knew that they were going to make some noises. She's going to do some singing, do whatever they do. And she could feel the vibration of mom and dad singing the songs with them. And she's trying to sing. So every time they sang, every time the choir came out, she started squeaking and squawking. She was just expressing herself. That's the only way she knew how to express herself. What a shame to leave somebody who's demon-possessed. And what a shame to try to cast demons out of somebody who's not demon-possessed. It doesn't always have to do with possession. Discerning the spirits when God lets you know there's spiritual activity going on that's not right from God. Ever walked into an office building, maybe into a doctor's office or into a store or someplace, and all of a sudden you just felt creepy, like there's something wrong here? Couldn't put your finger on it. I don't know what it is, but I just don't want to be here. It's weird. Well, one night I was driving home from a retreat. I'd been up in, I think it was in Palomar, one of the mountains, well, some mountain around here somewhere I hadn't been before, and I was coming home, driving down the hill by myself, late at night, and I turned on the radio so I could listen to some music or listen to some program, something going on. It's kind of helped me keep awake and keep alert. Having to turn on this radio program that was, this guy was teaching the Bible. And what he was saying sounded right on. But as he was teaching and speaking, I kept getting more aggravated. I was like Paul, getting stressed out in the spirit. There's something wrong here. When he finished his program, he identified himself with a cult. So what was happening? God's Holy Spirit was saying, it's wrong. What he's saying is right, but it has wrong spirit behind it. That's why we need to get the discerning of spirits. So God can reveal to us what's going on in somebody's life or in some situation. Those three gifts, gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, are all revelation gifts. Next week we'll get into the rest of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. It'll cluster. We'll talk about the next six gifts next time. We're not meeting next week, are we? Do we meet next week? Are we doing it? Okay. Anyway, next time we meet, we're talking about that. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, you don't leave us without help, Lord. You don't leave us ignorant. God, you give us the Holy Spirit who reveals to us these things, Lord, who teaches us these things. And thank you, God, that Paul listened to your Holy Spirit as you prompted him to write these letters, and Luke as he wrote the book of Acts. Father, thank you for these men who have gone before us and have written these things first for our learning, Lord, so that we can have witness of these things, Lord. So when we come up against them, Lord, we can call upon your Holy Spirit to help us, Lord. And God, we know that you're supernatural. That it's not a natural thing, but these are supernatural giftings of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you choose to use us individually as you will. Bless now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.